for the wet fish on Saturday. Oh, stop. I was down in Skibbereen in lovely Lisord, and you know, it's famous for its beautiful gardens and everything.
Yes.
And the lake, but sure, I couldn't see any
and
of
the
it.
Golf club, isn't
you
it?
Couldn't know it's that's Le Salan you're thinking of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's beautiful gardens and a lake, and it's by the sea and everything. But sure, I couldn't see longer than my arm anyway. But then on our way back up yesterday, beautiful and sunny, of course, as we were leaving, and stopped off in Angela's Fountainstown. And I have to say hello to Angela, because she was doing a roaring trade there yesterday.
Is she still doing the slices?
She is.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There was the wafers were there and everything, and lovely, lovely bit of carrot cake. Lovely bit of carrot cake in there. But it was funny, because when we got that call about Fountainstown earlier, I think I was there at 2:30 and I missed the entire thing. I must have been reading the paper. But they're great journalism for me, as always, as you will know. But talking about the weather, right? Danny Healy-Ray said last week, I think it was, to say that man is changing the weather is nonsensical.
This is his second time. Remember this from the Dáil.
I don't agree with all this story about climate change at all. There has been patterns of climate change going back over the years before that indeed there was ever a combustible engine. I believe that God above is in charge of the weather, and that we here can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Danny Healy-Ray says. The other day, John Soto, who is the professor of chemistry at UCC with research interests in atmospheric chemistry and aerobiology, if you don't mind, was hopping mad on Twitter over this the other day, and he asked us, could he come on and debate Danny Healy-Ray? Now, we were trying to get Danny Healy-Ray to debate him, but he's in a meeting, which I think might be code for a funeral, this morning. So we've rang him about 10 times this morning. He was due to come on, but he's not available. I think he might be a bit afraid of John Soto. John, what do you think?
Yeah, I think he's for it, but in the old Thatcher word. But I mean, well, anyway, good morning to you all.
Good morning.
I mean, what you said is actually some of the misapprehension that he has, which is, first of all, confusing the weather with climate.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, we'll come back to that afterwards. And that headline was one, which is to say man is changing the weather is nonsensical, and really it's what Dan knows anything about climate change. I mean, that is absolutely nonsensical if you think that he knows anything about climate change. He simply doesn't. He's like Donald Trump.
Can I maybe ask one of his questions, John,
to
give you a bit of a platform to get off on? Because he said it in the Dáil, and he said it before. And it's to phrase it better in my own language would be, if climate didn't change naturally anyway over long periods of time, how did the Ice Age start and finish?
Yeah, well, this is, if you like, a central issue about this, is that people don't understand the difference between what is the baseline greenhouse effect, which keeps us warm, keeps the planet habitable, and that's been ever since the Ice Ages began to finish, as gases like carbon dioxide, ozone came into the atmosphere, but also importantly water vapor. So when that happened, things happened on the planet that made it a bit more habitable. What we're talking about these days, and what he gets confused with, is that we're in an era of a modern enhanced greenhouse effect. The greenhouse analogy is good. You know, the sunshine comes in, it degrades the energy into heat, and the heat then gets trapped. But that's a good analogy to understand what's happening, if you like, since the planet was born. But what's happening now is different. There's a better analogy than that, and that is, think of the atmosphere that we have as a woolen shawl, something with holes in. And what we're doing there is we've got this woolen shawl, the carbon dioxide, let's say, is the wool. And if we add more carbon dioxide in, the wool gets thicker and we get hotter. If we begin to fill in the holes, and that's some of the other ingredients that we know that are there, like nitrous oxide and methane, and even particulate carbon matter, when we fill in those holes, we get even hotter. So he goes on about nature and, if you like, superior influences having a role to play. And you can go back to Snowball Earth and say that when gases began to come out of the planet's surface, they then trapped in the atmosphere heat, and we then moved over towards the sort of atmosphere that we had until about 1850.
Like, it didn't just arrive, it developed.
Sorry?
It didn't just arrive, it developed.
No, that's right, yes. But what then happened in about 1850 was the Industrial Revolution, when, with a vengeance, we began burning things. I think in one of his interventions, he called them combustible engines. Yeah, that's right. And that is so. Combustion engines, which burn carbon, fossil fuel in some way, gets transformed in the atmosphere into carbon dioxide. And carbon dioxide is one of the key ingredients to trap heat on our Earth. Our atmosphere is... I mean, if Kerry was on the moon, the moon does not have an atmosphere, then the temperature in Kilgarvin would be about minus 18 degrees centigrade. But we don't. We have an atmosphere. And so that's why we have the temperate climate, I mean, to date, that we live in. The real problem is, and I think that people are increasingly beginning to understand it, is that we are putting too many materials into the atmosphere that are causing excess trapping of the heat, which will then lead to an overheating of the planet, and then, well, who knows? Certainly the melting of the Arctic ocean sheet, which will come down and increase sea levels, other things like drought, other things like pouring rain and extreme weather conditions. It's a complicated matter, I admit that, and people like me really haven't done the job, I guess, of explaining to the public properly what's going on, and really that's why I'm here.
There's another argument that has been made consistently by Danny Healy-Ray, not quite as eloquently as others, and also by the weatherman in New Zealand, Ken Ring, who we talk to here many times a year. And they say, well, look, this has always happened. Climate has changed over the years by natural means, only that now we've found a way to make money out of it.
Well, maybe so. But they're not incompatible, of course. Is that, I mean, there's been a number of statements. There's the one about the Irish famine that Danny Healy gave. There was one about being roasted and scorched out of it in 12th. And 13th centuries,
yeah.
which really, I mean, he puts as a case is that's been acting for a long while. But both of these are actually due to natural phenomena that we can understand, and they're both to do with volcanic activity. Actually,
yeah, he points that out. Actually,
yeah, yes, but he doesn't understand why it is. I don't think. I mean, I can explain the Irish famine of 1739 and 1740. 2 years before that, there were two major volcanic events that threw up an enormous amount of sulfate particulates into the atmosphere. Mm. Now, those reflect sunlight out. They cause global dimming. So it does then, because the atmosphere is a fluid, take about 2 years for the material to move around the planet. And so in 1739, when the problem arose, where the crops died, is because it was freezing cold, not just in Ireland, but everywhere. So when we add things, when nature does add to our atmosphere, then there are problems. The 12th and 13th century things that it goes on. Well, clearly, of course, we didn't even have the concept of temperature then, when we were roasted and scorched out of it. And there was indeed what is called a medieval warming period, round about 1200. But I know where that came from. Where I used to work over in University of East Anglia, there was a guy who looks at botanic records to see round about that time that for that 100 or so years, there actually were more plants around. And before that, there were less. And after that, there were less. But what it was due to is because that there was less volcanic activity in that warming period. And that warming period wasn't roasting and scorching. Mm. What it actually was is about the temperatures we had just after the Industrial Revolution in about 1900. So nowhere close to what it is today.
Right. So there are you're saying there are natural phenomena, but now we're adding to them.
Yes, I mean, that is the issue. And if we did not have those natural phenomena, if we did not have that initial atmosphere that had carbon dioxide and water vapor to trap warmth and heat, to give us the Goldilocks atmosphere, that is, not too hot, not too cold,
just right.
Just about right. that was fine. That's what nature did. But it is absolutely the point, and this is what I cannot understand a word of what he says about the fact that man has no effect, is because yes, there is an enhanced greenhouse effect. It is due to man. And unless we begin to get our act together, I think the world is beginning to get its act together, there's going to be no sustainability, and that the next generation or the generation after that will have to cope with millions of refugees coming into areas. Food will be scarce. There will be wars. I mean, this isn't scaremongering. I mean, a lot of other people have said this, and we know because of a variety of United Nations meetings and things, including one later this year, which is going to come up with a date when all combustion engines should be banned, finished on the planet. So people are understanding this. They see from the Rio Olympics, even, a brilliant graphic to do with temperature increases. That puts it in front of their faces. Leonardo DiCaprio puts these things in their faces in an Oscar acceptance speech. Mm. So much more of that has to be done, and it's dangerous of people like Trump in the USA and Hevey Ray over here to just spout their rubbish.
Yeah, John, thanks a million for getting in touch. And if he does come back to us, I think we'll get the two of you on together at some stage. I think that would be a very informative, but also probably very entertaining.
To say the least.
Thanks a million for that, John.
1850 715 996.
The Opinion Line.
With the Irish Daily Mail.